Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And Happy New Year. Hope you had a great New Year's Eve. And this 2019 is going to be the year. It's going to be some big changes all around the world for Chris Jericho, for all of us together in this big experiment and this big journey called life. That's very philosophical. But I know starting off by 2019, it's already looking to be just as crazy as last year. But that's a good thing, and hopefully for you guys as well. Lots of great things coming in wrestling, like I said, and we're going to announce details on the second annual, hopefully, Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, second wave, part deux. We're getting ready to give you some information about that. So go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and join the mailing list there to get all the updates. And of course, don't forget, a huge gig for Fozzy, opening for Iron Maiden in Los Angeles, September 14th. Lots of great stuff coming up. But we're kicking it off with the new year at Wrestle Kingdom 13. Last year, Wrestle Kingdom 12, Alpha versus Omega, Jericho versus Kenny. This year, New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 13 is Jericho versus Naito 2 at the Tokyo Dome live on New Japan World. Make sure you subscribe. You're not going to want to miss this show. Every match has a potential to be a show stealer. Jericho versus Naito, like I said, Kenny Omega versus Tanahashi, Okada versus Jay White, Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. So many other great matches. You can check it out once again at New Japan World. Subscribe now at newjapanworld.com. Do not miss this show. I think a lot of people voted last year's Wrestle Kingdom the show of the year, and this one I expect to probably be even better. I know that Naito Jericho 2 is going to be a fight. It's going to be a brutal battle. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be the last match of Naito's career. That is my guarantee. That is my prediction. That is my pontification. So go to newjapanworld.com and see if I'm correct. But I will be correct in saying that this is going to be one of the best shows of the year in any company. So go check that out. And like I said, we're going to break down Wrestle Kingdom 13 today, match by match, talk all about it with one of the greatest Japanese wrestling reporters of all time. And one of my longtime friends in Japan, talking about Fumi Saito. He's been covering wrestling in Japan for over 30 years. So you hear what he thinks about the New Japan resurgence and wrestling's resurgence in general, the Tokyo Dome resurgence. He's weighing in on who he thinks is going to win and lose the titles during Wrestle Kingdom 13. And nearly every single match has a title involved, including mine. I'm defending the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, the best, greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, 10-time Intercontinental Championship champion right here. It's going to be the best Wrestle Kingdom 13 preview you're ever going to hear with me. I'm in the damn thing. And Fumi Saito, who's covered all the Wrestle Kingdom so far. And it's starting now on Talk is Jericho. Okay, so we're here in the New Japan offices in Tokyo, Japan. And we're going to be talking about Wrestle Kingdom 13, which is the huge show at the Tokyo Dome on January 4th. And joining me is an old friend of mine from Japan, Fumi Saito, one of the most critically acclaimed pro wrestling journalists in all of Japan. And that's pretty crazy. Like, I was thinking about it. I've known a lot of guys over the years that were in and out of working for Gong Magazine, Baseball Magazine, etc. But you're like the longtime survivor, still always doing interviews and always working, yeah, still in the business. Yes. Yeah, which is very, I mean, obviously, when did you start writing?
While I was in college,
It was back in 1981. I was still 19 years old.
Wow.
I was living in Minnesota.
You live in Minnesota?
Yeah, yeah. No, I went to college.
Oh, that's where my wife is from.
Yeah.
From northern Minnesota.
So I started young. While I was in college, I was still 19. I wrote a letter to editor of Pro Wrestling Magazine and told them what I could do. I kind of wasn't sure, but I live in Minnesota. I can go to all the AWA shows. I can do the photos. I can be a photographer, a ringside photographer, and also I can write stories. I wasn't sure, but
That's so funny because I grew up in Winnipeg.
Yeah,
probably watching the same AWA
stuff
shows that you watch.
And
we talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
because I started watching wrestling in the 70s, but 81 was when they would come to Winnipeg every month.
Yeah, Vern Gagne still working.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Dog Vachon. My favorite, Adrian Adonis, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. East-West connection.
Sure. Great team then.
But it's just, there's a lot of great performers. We were talking about Nick Bockwinkel earlier. Obviously, like Hogan was there right before he kind of blew up.
Yep.
You know. So when did you start working in Japan? Was it with, because it's funny, because there's Gong Magazine, Baseball Magazine.
Baseball Magazine, Weekly Pro Wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, Baseball Magazine was actually the name of a wrestling magazine.
Yeah, there was a parent company, Baseball Magazine.
Gotcha.
And the Pro Wrestling Weekly Division.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Baseball Magazine had like 40 different magazines. Volleyball Magazine, the Bowling Magazine, Baseball Magazine, of course, Sumo Wrestling, Basketball, and just name anything.
Everything.
Yeah, 40 different magazines. And Pro Wrestling and Sumo Magazine and Soccer Magazine and Baseball Magazine was the four, you know, big ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and then I remember like coming in the 90s, it was very popular, the two of those magazines a week, and then Tokyo Sports, the newspapers. Because wrestling in Japan, when there's a card, the next day you could find the results in the newspaper.
Newspapers, sports
like,
pages.
Yeah, just like it was a football game or something. The stats, the time of the matches.
I guess Japanese sports fans are more reading oriented, and you find those newsstand, you know, basically tabloid, but those sports paper come out pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then people pick up at the train stations.
Right.
Things changed. You don't see, when you get on the Japanese subways, you don't see many people reading those magazines anymore or newspapers anymore. It changed to your
phone.
iPhone. Yeah.
But that's the same everywhere around the world.
I guess, yes.
But let me ask you this. Like if you go to Europe, for example, rock magazines are still big. Metal Hammer and Kerrang. Are Japanese wrestling magazines still important in Japan now?
That also changed.
Yeah.
Back in 2006, we're going to have to talk about the dark age of Japanese wrestling. But in 2006, Weekly Gong and Weekly Fight, they both went out of business. Pretty much, you know, together. Not together, but the December of 2005-6.
Wow.
Weekly Fight went out of business first. And then 6 months later, Weekly Gong went out of business completely. And Baseball Magazine's Weekly Pro Wrestling wasn't selling that well, but they changed format a little bit. We changed 160 page magazine into 110 page magazine. And then the price stayed the same. So actually, the price went up. Then they banned us from using color slide and negatives and no more.
Why?
Digitize everything.
Gotcha.
You have to use digital camera. You have to use your computer to write your story and you put it in a folder and send it to your printer and it comes right back. And all the method of producing magazine had changed to reduce the cost.
Gotcha.
And then each and every freelance writers and photographers are called in. We have to have a meeting. And actually, that was summer of 2007 that our, you know, price of each column, all those things just went up.
For what you're making to write a column.
Yeah.
So was that because the people were more into the internet, or was it because the business was bad in Japan?
Both.
Combination?
Pretty much, yeah. It was in transition of all the print media and the newsstand, tabloid magazines, all going to internet era. And we were entering wrestling's dark age era too. Oh, we struggled very much.
You're talking about the actual, the promotions themselves as far as the quality or the stars or?
A lot of wrestling companies went out of business around that time. that was the peak era of your pride and K1 and MMA, and also a transition period from your great Muta and Chono, mm-hmm. those, you know, Misawa era into your Tanahashi era. Mm-hmm. You needed like a 5-year dark age period. Mm. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. It's almost like Saturday Night Live, where they build up all these great cast members, and then, you know, Will Ferrell's gone and Adam Sandler's gone and, you know, Sherry O'Terry or Kristen Wiig, and you have this cast that nobody knows. Right. They're trying, but the ratings go down and they have to build a new star.
I guess. Yeah. It was like that.
Because that's where we're at now when you're talking about New Japan. Maybe, I don't know if it's bigger than it's ever been, but it's so popular right now.
Right now,
so
it is popular, yes.
On fire because of the Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, Kenny Omega. Those four guys kind of got built around the company mm-hmm. on them.
And the new audience too. Mm-hmm. The whole new generation of audience.
So where did the new audience come from?
Oh, from in an era, but the star power too. He's with WWE right now, but the Shinsuke Nakamura and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Mm. Those two are like new era, big, huge superstar starting. Let's see. Okay, we got to talk about the Wrestle Kingdom 13 today.
Yeah,
right?
We will. Yeah, but we get to talk about.
Yeah. 13, meaning that the Wrestle Kingdom started back in 2007. Mm-hmm. That was the end of the dark era.
Mm.
Yeah. Until then, like a 5-year period.
Were they still trying to do Tokyo Dome shows?
Yeah, and drew about 10,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tokyo Dome can hold 60, 70.
60, yeah, 65.
The glory days. I mean, the first time I wrestled at Tokyo Dome as Super Liger.
Yeah.
Which was
65,000?
97, yeah. 65,000.
Oh,
yeah.
Every year. It was
amazing, because even then they can scale it down. I mean, even last year, I think they had 40,000, but they had scaled it down, mm-hmm. so it was a sold-out show.
Pretty much.
But that's a huge building, so to put 10,000 people in there would look like a community center.
Yeah, they turn the lights off at the outfield and all that. Yeah, yeah.
So were these guys that you're talking about, like Shinsuke and Tanahashi, were they dojo guys that just
came up with
the system?
Yeah, they were dojo guys.
So they finally just got their chance and started making waves?
And to be themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. They needed all the star to be gone, mm-hmm. you know. And, actually, Keiji Muto, Chono, when Hashimoto died. And, that was where they didn't really have the real main event.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much had to wait quite a few years for Tanahashi and Nakamura to become their own star. Mm. Yeah. And it was also a peak period of Pride and K1, the MMA. A lot of wrestling fans, even the serious wrestling fan, moved,
mm-hmm.
you know, from your traditional pro wrestling to your MMA.
They got into the mixed martial arts.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So when you're talking about this, and you mentioned, like, there was a turnaround because Antonio Inoki was obviously started New Japan mm-hmm. in 1972. Mm-hmm. Then I think he became kind of a figurehead, but then he actually. Was it 2005 or whatever, basically just sold his rights.
Company, yeah. Same logo, same name in New Japan, but he actually sold the whole company to Yuke's. Yeah, the game company.
That's like a video game?
Yeah,
company?
Video game company, yeah.
And then Yuke's sold it to Bushiroad.
Right, another big game company.
And Bushiroad is kind of where the resurgence came, where they started, I don't know, putting bigger money into it?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, that too, yeah. And also they... try a different formula for advertising, putting advertising on your trains and other things. Mm. And
And it worked, because then we talked about when you had Tana and you had Nakamura.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Okada's up of the ranks and Naito. And then you have this great collection of foreign mm-hmm. guys that started with Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, went to AJ Styles as the top guy, went to Kenny Omega as the top guy. But then you had all these other Gallows and Anderson, and now you got the Young Bucks and Cody's here.
These are a whole new crew now.
Yeah. Which is so important too, especially with
you got to recognize the gap between Scott Norton to your Prince Devitt.
Right.
You know?
Nothing in between, right?
Yeah, nothing in between.
Who was working as the foreign guys then? Who was even there? I know there was some...
You're talking about Vader, the Scott Norton, that era.
Big stars.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was your Carl Anderson and Gallows.
I know they had some affiliation with Impact, I think, with these...
Yeah, a little bit, but those guys are not regular. When you are going to be a star in Japan, you have to work pretty much full-time, mm-hmm. like Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, Vader, mm-hmm. you know, the Funks.
Right.
Yeah. So didn't have any of them.
How hard was it, in your opinion, when WWE kind of did the raid back in 2015, I think, where they got Gallows, Anderson, yeah. AJ, and Nakamura all in
I
one.
I think that the Japanese talent and also the American talent who were working in New Japan at the time thought it was their opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To go up, yeah.
Well, so, that's what happened too.
Yeah, I think so. You need an old audience really accept that because you're always waiting for a new star, mm-hmm. you know?
So when you mention a whole new audience, we talk, there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of
teens and teens, girls, a lot of females.
Yeah. What's spearheading that? Is that because there's a lot of good Japanese new hot talent or is there different advertising going out there or what is it?
Mm, that's a combination of things, mm-hmm. pretty much. New Japan audience is much like WWE Universe. See, these New Japan fans only follow New Japan. Mm. See, we still have this traditional wrestling fans, though, you know, who follow all the groups, different groups. You have actually over 100 wrestling companies just out of Tokyo. Mm. 100.
Now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Whomever was anybody at one point or another, they all have their own office.
I saw Ricky Fuji's still working.
Yeah, yeah. Still. Yeah, he still works every weekend
yeah.
for Takamichi Noku's group.
Okay.
Yeah, Fujinami has his office. Ricky Choshu has his office. Fujiwara has his own dojo. It's crazy, but that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of Tokyo, the one that has address and phone number and a website, I'm counting just over 100.
Wow.
Yeah, about 15 women's group.
Yeah.
Wow, crazy. Every Saturday and Sunday, you look up this, you know, internet, you know, wrestling schedule. You have 10 to 15 shows in town every Saturday,
I didn't
Sunday.
Realize that. That's like Mexico City is, yeah, like, I guess, that, like, too.
Yeah, but it's not like all 10,000 people. You have the 300.
Sure.
Yeah.
100 people here.
Yeah, right, right.
50 people in a bar.
So the Korakuen Hall became your mecca, you know, like a huge, actually only holds, what, 1,700?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like a big deal.
Yeah.
To be able to run Korakuen Hall.
Yeah, if you can sell Korakuen Hall, it's kind of the first step to becoming a
major league.
Company.
Yeah, major league. Yeah, yeah. Right, that's
exactly
true.
Exactly.
And New Japan ran about 50 shows last year, though. 50 Korakuen shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they just did two, and they're doing another one after the Tokyo Dome.
Right. It's kind of like running for your Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania.
See, but I was talking to the New Japan officials, and I was like, you have to, if you, because they said that the demand for New Year's Dash, which is the show right after Tokyo Dome.
Like Raw.
Was like 7,000 requests for 1,700. Yeah. I said, you now have to do what WWE does. Do your Dome show, and then book Ryogoku, Sumo Arena. That holds about 8,000 or 10,000.
10,000, yeah.
You would sell that out, or at least have a lot more people than Korakuen.
I think so.
Because so many people come from around the world, they would stay for the next night.
Like Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Day after, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the season premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The news.
All the conclusion of all the drama come to an end.
That's right.
The Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
Then you need a season premiere. Yeah, I think they should run the Ryogoku.
Because that's something that's going on now, too, is there's so many people coming from around the world.
Hundreds.
Because of New
Japan. Maybe a thousand.
Yeah, thousands, yeah. I'd say. You know, New Japan now has a penetration around the world, more specifically in North America, mm-hmm, over the last few years with the New Japan World streaming service and Access TV. It's like selling out Madison Square Garden and all these different things.
Right, right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. You know? Probably New Japan is just about the only company that can do worldwide, huh? You know, second to, well, WWE, of course.
Yes.
Worldwide base. But now that the New Japan World has this English commentary on, you know, mm-hmm, every episode, and that would open up the, you know, market.
Well, and WWE is watching.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anytime you have a company that can come into WWE's backyard,
right,
and sell up Madison Square Garden, and you can spin it any way you want to. It's WrestleMania weekend, right, or it's something. It doesn't matter. They did something that WWE has not done in years, which is sell out Madison Square Garden.
Also, they politically stopped any group or UFC or any group, mm-hmm, from coming to Madison Square Garden.
Right.
And to run the show.
Yeah, exactly.
They were blocking it for what, 50 years?
I think they tried to block this show.
Yeah,
and it didn't work out. But
right.
And that's my point. So when you're talking about a company that has, you know, it's nationwide TV on Access TV. It's not, you know, NBC or USA Network.
Right, right.
But it's still funded by a billionaire, Mark, mm-hmm, Cuban. There's money there.
Right.
So WWE never takes anything like that lightly.
And which, also live, the era of live streaming.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we said earlier, you can watch these shows as they happen. It's like watching Monday Night Raw if you have New Japan World. And it's not all that expensive to get. You know, we saw that last year when we had, you know, when I worked with Kenny and suddenly the subscriptions in North America went up 40%.
Like 20,000 subscribers in one day or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the, like I said, the bridge to getting these people to check out the company. And suddenly now you have all these people that might have tuned in just to see Jericho and Omega that are staying to watch
pretty much
everybody else.
It's not all that expensive. It's just like your WWE Network is at
$9.99. Yeah.
Over here is like 1,000 yen.
Yeah. People think that it's 1,000 yen. That's 10 bucks.
Yeah. Right.
It's not a lot.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So we talked about last year with Wrestle Kingdom 12. It was a huge success. Mm-hmm. We're heading into Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Yes.
And I know that ticket sales right now, a few days before the show, a couple weeks before the show, are way ahead of where they were last year at this time.
And the main floor at the baseball stadium, main floor is completely sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's
only stand.
Well, that's quicker than last year.
I think so.
As well.
More established.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More established, more of a buzz. And I think this card might be one of the best cards in New Japan history as far as from the first match to the last match.
Yeah.
Every one could be a show stealer.
Yeah, I guess so. I was just taking notes as a wow, yeah, this lineup is just
it's crazy,
incredible.
Right? Yes. To the point where, and we'll start going in right now, before there was always the New Japan Rumble.
Right.
Not happening this year.
Gauntlet match this year.
And what, it was like a trios gauntlet match?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. You got 27, 30 guys that's not on the main card.
Right.
Yeah, kind of like your Andre the Giant Memorial Battle.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But look at this, though.
Yeah.
When you're talking about who's in that,
Liger.
Suzuki.
Minoru Suzuki.
He could be a main event. Marty Scurll.
Right.
You know,
Lance Archer.
David Boy Smith. Right. Yeah. Do you have other guys?
Satoshi Kojima. Tenzan. Kojima. Nakanishi. You know, this
You got them all written down. Jeff Cobb's going to be. Is this the whole list?
Oh, the guy who's not on the card.
Okay, so here's who's not on the card that might be in this gauntlet match. Liger, Tiger Mask, Marty Scurll, who was in a huge match last year. Taguchi, Makabe Suzuki.
He
stole the show at the last Osaka show that I had. Goto, Iizuka, Taichi, Michael Elgin, Jeff Cobb, Archer, David Boy Smith Jr., Chase Owens, Hangman Page. There's another one.
None of those guys.
Yano,
are on the main
Nagata,
card.
Nakanishi, Kojima, Tenzan, Dave Finley Jr., Chucky T, Beretta, Rocky Romero. I mean, this is ridiculous.
None of these guys are on the main card.
I know, right? And then they'll always have like a Gino Gambino or like a King Haku or someone will come in.
Right, right. Might jump in. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that when you're talking about this level of talent for the dark match,
basically,
that's telling you what kind of a roster New Japan has right now.
It's getting to be more and more like a WrestleMania.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. So we know that there has to be a trio, but if you had to pick, I guess we don't even know what the trios are. It's going to be hard to pick a winner. I'm going to say whoever Suzuki's team is, I think that's who's going to win.
Right. Iizuka, Suzuki, and or somebody like Lawrence Archer, Davey Boy Smith, and with Minoru Suzuki.
That'd be good.
As a trio.
Just beating the crap out of everybody. Right. Yeah, that could be a good one. But the official opening match is
Kota Ibushi against Will Ospreay.
Now, this match is just completely insane to me. Like, I think both these guys are maybe the two best agile high flyers.
Yeah, and also beyond your imagination, you are epitome of style of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the match last night that they had in Korakuen. It was a tag match of Ibushi and Kenny versus Ospreay and
doing
Tana.
The diving Frankensteiner. He spins and lands.
Did you see that? That's one of the best spots I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, and go.
Good camera work, too.
Great camera work. Yeah. Very underrated sometimes, the camera crew. But they caught this shot. So what it was Ospreay was standing on the top rope. Ibushi did a springboard into a top rope standing Super Frankensteiner, and when he came through, Ospreay did a front flip and landed on his feet.
And then smiled.
The timing on that was amazing.
Oh God!
And then they had this great
camera angle focusing Ibushi.
Yeah.
Turning around slowly and looking at Ospreay.
Yeah, Ibushi's in the foreground and Ospreay's kind of in the background. And it was such an amazing spot.
Oh,
and
that
I think
an amazing spot.
Just a taste of what we're going to see with these two guys.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because there was a big controversy a few years ago. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah.
Ospreay and Ricochet?
Right.
Yeah.
Like somebody like a late Vader.
Vader didn't
Vader
like
case.
It.
Oh, no. It looks way too choreographed. It ain't wrestling.
And to me, yes, it is wrestling. And that's the best thing about wrestling is there's so many different types.
It evolves.
And like we talked about earlier, it's a variety show. You can have a technical match. You can have a brutal brawl. You can have, a championship match. Or you can have this amazing display of athleticism and timing and chemistry. And I feel that Ospreay and Ibushi are going to have that same vibe that he had with Ricochet.
Yeah, it's a perfect guys. Perfect two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think when I first came here last year, when I did the run-in on Kenny in Osaka the first time I appeared, I couldn't believe how big Ospreay was.
Oh.
He's tall.
Right. He's actually pretty tall.
He's taller than I am.
Yeah.
And
put on more weight, he'll be heavyweight.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think he has a chance
to become
the next Finn, AJ, Kenny, Ospreay. If you're going for that lineage.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't sure when this controversy you just talked about, Ospreay against Ricochet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it looked like two guys memorized the whole dance or something.
Right.
But then nobody can do it.
Right.
The way they do things.
I had Steamboat on my podcast a few weeks ago and talking about the great WrestleMania 3 match versus
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That whole match was choreographed from spot one to spot done, where they had it written down, and they would
that Savage style, right?
Yes,
yeah.
They would quiz each other. Give me moves number 35 to 52, or give me steps.
Oh my God!
And
Buddy Rogers,
everything. Buddy Rogers used to do that.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, Buddy Rogers and his buddy. Got to be in my mind, but they had the, shoulder block to duck under to jump over to international hip.
Really,
that's 24. And it's like 32, 24, 22, 21.
See,
that
doesn't bother me. I think
right.
When you get guys that can do it, like you said, that no one else can do
athleticism,
I mean, incredible stuff. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, these two are so special.
Yeah.
Ibushi and Ospreay, both of them, very special.
But Ibushi's not is he a New Japan guy?
Now he is.
Now he is.
Yeah. He and Kenny Omega is like almost isolated case. They started with independent company called DDT. Mm. They were discovered by New Japan and got signed away.
Ah.
You know, when you go to New Japan, some independent shows, you all find one or two guys that are already kind of special. Mm-hmm. And you guys got kind of New Japan discovered, kind of signed them away.
Do you do that sometimes? You mentioned if there's so many shows in Tokyo, do you
go
sometimes?
Yeah, I go to an independent show. When you go to a rock concert or a live house show or like a movie that are not so good, you find one or two things that are special in there.
Right, right. Yeah.
So when you go to an independent show, you find one or two guys, oh my gosh, this guy can be something special.
So do you tell somebody this? Do you tell somebody in New Japan or?
Oh, no, not to New Japan, but we talk about it. Have you seen this guy? It's like, yeah. It's
word
like,
gets around.
So, yeah,
right?
And then some people notice, same guy.
Is there a guy right now in Tokyo that you're thinking about?
And there's so many. And also, what's so special about Ospreay is that new generation of independent wrestlers already started emulating him.
Mm.
You know? What Ospreay does.
Wow.
Yeah, like the night after you see this guy do certain things, next week you see, you know, same moves in the
But they're pushing it to the next step, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a regular guy who's athletic, you know, enough can copy the move through. What makes difference is you be more creative.
Right.
Yeah, Ospreay is creative. Ibushi is creative.
I remember the first time I came to Japan, FMW yeah. in 91, Izaki, Hayabusa.
Hayabusa.
He did a moonsault.
Yeah.
And nobody did a moonsault.
Yeah, at the time. Right.
And so when he did the moonsault, you had to make the save because it was such a tremendous move. Like, oh my gosh, he's a beautiful moonsault.
End of the match.
And that's what I said to Dave Meltzer when we're talking about Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in 1983, when Metallica came out,
okay,
they were playing so fast and heavy, you had never heard anything like it.
Really?
Now, in 2018, everyone plays faster and heavier. Metallica just seems like, oh yeah, Metallica. But at the time, they were pioneers, revolutionary.
Really?
That's what Dynamite Kid was like. That's sure. what, you know, Izaki was like with this moonsault.
Ah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything was all relative.
Very special. So. And something about him, you know, something about him.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
He just knew this guy's going to be a big deal. I mean, he's going to be a big deal someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we have. So this is for the Never Open Weight Championship.
Right.
Ibushi,
opening match.
Yeah. Like, gosh, I'd hate to follow this thing. A couple of years ago, me and Kevin Owens were at WrestleMania, or me and AJ at WrestleMania. Yeah. No, Kevin Owens. And the opening match was AJ versus Shane McMahon.
So
forget it. You know, you can't follow that. But I'm going to say Never Open Weight. Ibushi just beat Taichi for it.
Hiroki Goto. Goto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm gonna say Ospreay.
Ospreay, yeah.
Is that your prediction?
He's so special.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won me over, you know, because right when Vader talked about Ospreay Ricochet match, I was with Vader's opinion, you know, right? That looked way too choreographed to be believable. Mm-hmm. You know, but over and over, Ospreay is of course talented, but creative.
Yeah.
You know, keep coming back with something new. Yeah. You know, he gained more confidence over the years. Yeah. This guy is special.
Big guy, you know, and I think now where we don't know the future of the Bucks
Ospreay,
and Kenny and Cody, they need to build Ospreay. And I think, like I said, he could be the next big foreign star here. So.
Right. Style of 2020 for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so second match is the IWGP Junior Tag Team. Titles. It's a three-way.
Three-way, yeah.
Yeah, it's Kanemaru and Desperado, Sho and Yo, which is Roppongi 3K, and Takagi and Bushi, who are from Los Ignorables de Japón.
Yeah, right. I'll go with Bushi and...
Well, the thing is, here's the thing, and it seems like almost every match on this show is for a title. I think as I'm looking...
pretty much.
British Heavyweight... Tag team, US title, junior title. Okada and Jay White is the only match on this card that's
without
not for a title.
Championship, right.
Are we getting into a position where there's too many titles in New Japan?
It looks that way.
Yeah.
Because you almost don't need never title,
right.
You know.
Like, and British title and
that's right.
Junior tag team. I guess you could
junior
maybe
team,
go
yeah.
for that. But I mean, like, what's the difference between the Young Bucks and, you know, Bushi and Takagi? That's the Young Bucks are in the heavyweight tag team,
but they can work junior heavier style too.
But that's the way that the business is now, though, Fumi. When you look at, okay, like, let's go to WWE. We're talking about 205 Live, right?
Right.
And you got these guys that are doing kind of the quote unquote cruiserweight style.
Pretty much.
But in the main event, it's Seth Rollins.
who can do
all of that stuff in his. Pretty much, Buddy Murphy is the same size as Seth Rollins is.
Right. This is 205.
What's the difference, right? So,
right.
I noticed that.
But Seth Rollins is like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of guys like AJ's in there and, you know, those type of guys. Very similar.
Daniel Bryan. Very similar.
Those guys, you know, if this was 10 years ago, would be in the WWE.
Cruiserweight.
Yeah. You know, I was a cruiserweight. Benoit was a cruiserweight. Oh, Eddie was a cruiserweight. You know, you're talking 210, 220 pound guys, right?
But there's a star of the show.
But
they were a force out there who wanted to hold you guys down.
Of course. Yeah. And also, too, that was the transition time,
right.
Like we mentioned, when size was still an issue.
Sure. Hulk Hogan.
That was still that time. Sure. Now, it's not an issue because all the guys are pretty much, you got a few guys that are bigger, but everyone's pretty much the same size.
Yeah, I guess so now.
I like Bushi. Show and you are a good team too, though.
Yeah,
you
know? Total babyface.
That's one of those things where you took two guys that weren't doing anything, put them together, and they got a cool name because I don't even know what their full names are.
Right, and also it's like a special Japanese wrestling formula. You have to leave and then go to a foreign country for about a year, and then come back with longer hair or new costume, new ring name or new finish.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Where did they go?
They went to independent in America.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Tempura Boys was their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just working independence, though?
I think so, yeah.
Tempura Boys.
Yeah, kind of cliche. I'm sorry. But the Tempura Boys was their name.
Did they go to the States with the Tempura Boys? You're throwing salt in your opponent's eyes.
I don't know. That's kind of almost American cliche of Japanese.
Yeah, exactly.
But they came back like somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
What is their name, Sho and Yo? Do you know Taito? What is Sho and Yo's real name, full name?
Tanaka Sho.
And what?
Tanaka Sho.
Sho Tanaka. Yeah, Sho Tanaka. Oh, okay. So it's the first names.
Those are first names.
Okay.
But you don't need another Tanaka.
Yeah. You don't have first names. So who's the champions now? Is it? I'm not even sure. Who's the junior tag team champions? Taito?
Kanemaru and Desperado.
Okay, right, so I'm going to say. You're going with Bushi and Takagi?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sho and Yo.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. So that's
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship.
And Takagi and Bushi both got hit in the head by chairs last night.
Yes.
By a crazy Canadian whose name will not be mentioned. Me. Okay, so then with the British Heavyweight title. Now, this one here.
Very interesting.
You got Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yep.
That's funny.
Totally different.
Once again, when I first came into New Japan, I saw Ishii in the dressing room and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I was like, "Who is this guy?" And I realized he was a young boy
for Tenryu in
WWE.
Carrying a bag.
It looked almost exactly the same. Just now his bald head has gray bits of hair. Before it was just black.
Right. So, he was carrying Mr. Tenryu's bag.
Right.
Yeah.
But he has just recently over the last year gotten to the next level, right?
Total survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's a guy that has a great match every night.
Pretty much.
Right?
Not technically sound. I mean, like, he doesn't have this fancy looking moves.
Right.
No topes.
Yeah.
No drop kicks. Nothing. Maybe he does drop kick every now and then, but just being tough guy.
Yeah.
Believable tough guy.
Yeah. Beating the shit. Him and Suzuki beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
At Power Struggle.
Yeah. In Osaka. Yeah.
That's something I noticed. New Japan style is there's something
elbow,
happened.
Elbow.
Yeah. Forearm to the face.
Yeah.
I'm like. That man, I'm not doing that. I'll take the bump itself.
Ishii does,
yeah.
You know, he specialized that, and not everybody's the Ibushi, you know, not everybody's Osprey.
No, and once again, it's a variety show. Yeah. But here's
not
the difference:
everybody's Kenny Omega. So
Ishii, like we talked about, more of a tough kind of a bruiser against Zack Sabre Jr., who's one of the best technical wrestlers.
I think
wrestlers.
So. Yeah.
Which is so funny because when you see him, he's so thin and
just tall, skinny guy.
He looks like a little kid, but then he gets in there and he's one of those guys that just knows every Carl Gotch, Billy
Robinson. Japanese fans traditionally always like the style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and also, too, like we talked about, he's so good at it that it puts him in a completely different level because he makes it look so easy. Mm. And if you try and copy him, like Guys like Johnny Saint. These people try and copy Johnny Saint, and no one can do
it not quite the same.
Right. Right. And I find that's like that with Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, he's very special.
Very special.
This should be interesting. Ibushi's tough guy image against Zack Sabre Jr.'s this European total catch-as-catch-can submission, Korgach, Billy Robinson thing. It's it'll be very interesting.
When you work with a guy like ZSJ, you just have to hold on and let him do his things. You know, like, I am not a technical wrestling guy. I don't really never was. But when you get in there with a guy like that, it's like working with Malenko or Regal. As long as you're kind of holding on, you'll get put in and out of stuff. You're like, how did I do that?
Just puzzle.
Just his style is so unique and flowing.
Yeah, I guess I'd say. You just there be a Gumby or somebody.
Something. So I would assume that Zach is probably the British heavyweight champion.
Champion is Ishii.
Oh, Ishii is the champion.
Yeah, Ishii is the champion right now. So maybe this is the time Zack Sabre Jr. will get the title and bring that back to Europe.
It's one of those things, and I don't know, I know like in WWE, they always keep an eye on how many title switches there are.
Really? Yeah.
Whereas last year, I know in Wrestle Kingdom, I think there was like six title switches. They didn't care.
You have to watch it, huh?
Yeah. So I'm going to say keep it on Ishii just because I'm sure there's going to be lots of other switches.
Sure.
That's my prediction. What's yours?
I'll go with Ishii.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you got kind of the new era Bullet Club, Tama Tonga and Tanga Loa, versus the Young Bucks versus Evil and Sonata for the IWGP Tag Team Champions. Title. Another three-way.
Yeah, there's just too many guys on roster almost. Because IWGP Junior Tag Team title match, this IWGP Tag Team title match, both triple threat.
Yeah, and that reminds me of WrestleMania.
Yeah, just too many guys, right?
So many multi-person matches. Yeah. Like you said, too many guys. Where you want to get everybody on the show as a reward.
Yeah. We just talked about this.
Yeah.
The dark match. 30 guys.
Look at all the guys in there. I mean, and so it's kind of the same with, I think the Young Bucks were kind of the odd bucks out. So put them in there for the three-way. You know, and it's a good mix of styles.
Yeah. This one.
You know, and it's interesting to me when you're talking about Tama Tonga and Tanga Loa and kind of this new Bullet Club. I'm wondering, is it time to change the name? Do we? Keep...
I would say it's time to change.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think so Bullet too. Club. Like Bullet Club has been through so many different phases, and
different guys,
and it's so synonymous over the last couple of years with the Bucks and Kenny and Cody. And now that they're gone, it seems like they want to change it to something else. You know, the whatever.
I guess. The companies still have to sell merch.
Yeah.
The Bullet Club.
I guess people are still buying it.
They're still buying it. Yeah, like an NWO t-shirt, stuff like that.
And still going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an interesting concept.
But the Evil Sanada, probably?
Yeah, because, you know, this is not a thing, you know, if you go online and read how the Young Bucks are talking about how they're, you know, they're done with Ring of Honor and there's new things happening. I mean, it seems to me that this might be one of the last times we see Bucks and Cody and maybe even Kenny, which we'll talk about later. But if the Bucks are gone, they won't be winning. So, Evil and Sonata, I think, is your best bet, you know. It's going to be weird, though, because, I mean, the Bucks, every match they have is so good. But, you know, I mean, Evil and Sonata, I'll take them.
Right.
You?
Evil Sonata.
Yeah. And now here's another thing, too. These guys have to go on after the other three-way junior tag team. It's almost like the same style of match.
Right.
Again, right?
With three teams, six people in the ring.
And as a wrestler, it's hard to do that when you have... like having two cage matches in one night. Once you see one...
Back to back.
Yeah. If I was the Bucks and Evil and Tom, I would want to go on before... Oh, the other guys, you know?
The other guys, yeah.
Then we got the U.S. title, Cody, don't call him Rhodes, versus Juice Robinson for the IWGP U.S.
title.
And here's interesting, and you can tell me a little bit about this. How is it, Kenny and Jericho notwithstanding, can you get the heat as two foreigners in a match like this?
Juice Robinson is considered New Japan wrestler. He went through dojo system.
Did he?
Yeah.
Before he went to WWE?
After WWE.
Oh, he came back.
He was with Florida Championship Wrestling Developmental and also part of the NXT.
Yeah.
And I think he was part of the Performance Center too. Mm-hmm. But he decided to pack up
and left the country, and he came to Japan and started living in dojo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he did the dojo style.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
So he started out with New Japan, the first match guy.
So, wow, yeah. Okay. So, fans know this.
Yes, him, and we talk about Jay White a little bit later, but yes.
And Finley too, right?
Yeah, Finley, yeah, those, yeah, 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 those.
Interesting. So the New Japan fans will get behind Juice
Robinson, total babyface.
Easier for Cody to be a heel then.
Oh, I think so. I think so. And I think Juice Robinson will be a lot more popular than Cody.
Yeah. Well, he had some great matches. Juice had a great match.
Yeah.
Was it with Kenny or who did he have? He had a great match with somebody recently.
Well, Juice Robinson against Tanahashi single match at Korakuen last year was pretty good.
Ah, good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's another guy that the company's going to build up as another possible, you know, foreign
who wants to stay here,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
right. I mean, if you can take Ospreay, and you mentioned we'll talk about Jay White and Juice, that's a pretty good, you know, new era if we lose the Bucks and Cody and Kenny. But so, yeah, I think once again, by their own admission of these guys talking about how they're going somewhere else or starting their own company, or whatever it is, I think it's, you know, Juice is going to be the winner probably for sure on that one,
yeah, in Japan,
yeah,
yeah. And but, also, he has just something about him. He's total babyface.
Yeah.
Total likable guy.
Right.
And almost kind of like Roman Reigns style.
Hmm.
You know, this one punch, Superman punch thing he has.
But, you know, that's okay. Like, once again, like we talked about earlier, all you need is a few signature moves.
Yeah.
And when you can get those over, that's all you need.
Yeah.
And then you just figure out ways to weave in and out of it and to fool people.
Yeah.
And you're all set.
Yeah, right now, Juice Robinson hasn't had much push yet. But I've been watching this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I like him. And he's something about him is total babyface.
And that's smart too, the New Japan system or any system. But you build a guy, like you said, first match, and then he wins, and then he goes to second match, and suddenly, you know, for him to be the U.S. champion will be
new costume, and all those things.
Yeah, hair and everything. Yeah. So, all right. So we're in agreement on Juice getting that. Then we've got IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, Kushida versus Ishimori.
Ishimori, it's another total video game type of guys. You know?
Ishimori's like that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Like, oh god.
Because he just came to Japan recently. He was working in Impact, I think. Right? Is Ishimori?
And before that, he was with Pro Wrestling Noah.
Mm.
Yeah, Ishimori, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And originally from Ultimo Dragon School.
Ah.
Yeah.
So is Okada, which I did not know.
Right, right.
I had no idea.
Before New Japan, right?
Yeah.
So he was, Okada was one of those guys who was working basically independent, discovered by New Japan, got signed away.
Really? So he did not come through the dojo?
So kind of, so much like WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, it's good, you know, develop your new guy at the like a performance center, mm-hmm. dojo system. Mm-hmm. But when you find somebody special at independent scene, you kind of scout him and just sign away.
That's what happened with Takagi.
Shingo Takagi, yeah. Dragon Gate.
Yeah. He looks, talking about Takagi, he looks
like somebody already.
Like somebody, yeah. When he came in Osaka Power Struggle, I was like, who is that guy? But that's the best thing.
He was a star with Dragon Gate,
so you can find these guys and bring
mm-hmm.
them in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they've done with Ishimori, and Kushida is now.
Kushida was also Tajiri's student.
Ah,
originally.
Ah, okay.
And he went to Canada and then debuted in the independent in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and then discovered by New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And he got signed away. Ah, there are quite a few guys like that.
Yeah. Now, just to mention quickly, if there's any update on Hiromu, who had a neck injury.
Ah, he's out. A little longer than we originally thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he still is, maybe can come back.
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
But still out like months.
Terrible, terrible looking bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And during the match. And if he finished the match, you know?
It's amazing to me. I was watching last night in the Ibushi, Ospreay, Kenny, and Tana. And as I get older in the business, neck bumps, it really bothers me. It scares me. And Ospreay took a bump. Like, he takes crazy bumps as it is. He's calmed down a little bit, but he took a bump off a clothesline right on the back of his head. And just watching it, it's like, oh, and seeing that injury that Hiromu had, it you know.
Like a Frankensteiner complicated thing.
Something, kind of threw him right on his head. Yeah. And then it's funny because people will say, oh, Japanese style is strong
it's
style.
It's not to hurt
it's
each
not.
Other, though. No.
Yeah, it's not.
It looks risky, but you do it safe.
You have to be safe.
You know what I'm saying?
It's up to you.
Yeah, it's a really spectacular looking bump, but you do it safe.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you protect yourself and understand
your opponent,
what the move is, and work together. But like you said, this is going to be another amazing high spot extravaganza.
Total IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match.
Which is the great lineage, you know, from so many years of like when I was here in the 90s with Liger and Samurai and Otani and Kanemoto and all these tremendous tremendous workers. So I don't know. I like Ishimori. I don't know if they'll give it to him, the championship, but he looks great and he works great. So he speaks English too,
which
is always a plus. So I'm going to say Ishimori.
Ishimori?
Yeah.
I say either way, I think Kushida and Ishimori should have match next 5 years.
So it doesn't matter.
These two should have like a dozen and dozens of matches now. Yeah.
Good chemistry there.
Yeah, I think so. And then same size.
Yeah, and same style too.
Yeah.
So as we move into
very important three matches,
the final three triple main event sort of thing, the one match that does not have a title at stake, and from a guy that was in the main event last year, of talking about Okada, Kazuchika Okada, and Jay White, who is another guy
who came out of
from
New
the
Japan.
Dojo, right?
Yep.
And Jay's, it's interesting to me that they found him. He's from New Zealand. He's a big guy, and I can't believe that no one has tried to steal him because of his size. And
good-looking guy, too.
Good-looking guy. Yep. And, you know, I think last year he worked against Tanahashi at the Tokyo Dome, which was a little bit...
Too
soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but you probably think differently. But
No. I agree.
A little bit too soon.
I think so. I think
he has it, though. He has it, but a little too soon.
Mm-hmm. You know? For a match of that style. Or
that high up.
Which is funny, because if you go to last year's triple main event, it's the same six guys.
Pretty much, yes.
It is. It was Okada and Kenny. Kenny and Jericho. Okada and Naito. Jay White and Tanahashi.
Exactly.
Right?
Same six
this
guys.
This year, Okada, Jay, Jericho, Naito, Kenny, and Tana.
Same six guys.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
There's your six guys that you're building around.
Yeah.
But Okada, like, he's so good. Like, maybe, just from watching, I've never been in the ring with him, but maybe the best
in-ring
worker.
In-ring performer
in-ring
right
ring
now?
Performer. Maybe. You know, just watching him, very smooth, very smart. Athletic.
Great drop kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And,
being the champion for such a long time, is it strange for you to see him in match 7 rather than match 9?
No, this is fine. All 7, 8, 9, these three matches are all main event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No intermission. Just, you got to sit home, you know?
Right.
You can sit tight and watch all these three
matches. Yeah. Yeah, these are with the money makers, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Same six guys.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Right. And Switchblade, I think he's the leader of this new Bullet Club with Tama Tonga and Loa.
Yeah, Generation 2,
Bad Luck Fale and all these other guys. So, you know, I think Tana beat Jay White last year at the Tokyo Dome, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who do you think? Okada or
Okada should still beat Jay White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so, right?
Yeah, because Jay White can challenge, you know, this Tanahashi or Kenny Omega or Naito or somebody a little bit more famous and has more longer career. Mm. See, Jay White has been around only, 4 years altogether?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
So you think, and this is what I love about Japanese pro wrestling, is that there's a certain believability. So you think it's not the right time for Jay to beat Okada just from an experience standpoint?
Some wrestlers become more popular by losing. You know, mm-hmm. they love underdogs.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
The fighting spirit.
Yeah. And then challenge one more time.
This really is the country, and it's like this in the States, but more so here, where you can get over just as much by losing.
Losing. Dynamite
as you can
Kid.
By winning.
Dynamite Kid, Tiger Mask, he never won the match.
Really?
Tiger Mask against the original Tiger Mask against Dynamite Kid, there were only like seven matches, single matches.
Oh, really?
Every single seven matches, Dynamite Kid lost, but one or something.
Really?
Yeah, but he was just as popular.
Wow.
You know, that's what you see in the match, and then you get so carried away, you get so involved, you know, and people secretly love Dynamite Kid just as much as they love Tiger Mask.
Mm.
The match, you know?
Yeah. It's like me and John Cena. I think we wrestled 20 times, I don't think I ever won.
but every time.
You never did?
I don't think so. But every time was a great match, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's like you said, you can get over more in a lot of ways by losing than you can by winning. It's interesting, too. I can tell you that story. You're talking about Tamatanga and Tangaloa.
Yeah.
Their father, Haku.
Haku, yes.
One of the first great matches, in my opinion, that I had here in Japan
was
in 94 against King Haku.
Really?
I can't remember where it was. It was some country town,
yeah.
Iwate or something.
Yeah.
And it was a single match.
Single match? Wow.
Yes. And we had this amazing match where he sold for me, and obviously he's a killer. He kicked the shit out of me, but sure. I kept fighting back,
monster.
Fighting back. And he gave me, finally at the end, his finish was a powerbomb. And he gave me the big powerbomb, and he told me to kick out. One, two, kick out.
Yeah.
Okay, kick out. Huge pop, big reaction. And then all he did was just pick me up and give me another one. One, two, three, finish. Yeah. After I got a standing ovation,
really?
Because I kicked out of the one power bomb.
Power bomb that was a killer looking.
He made me. He made me by having me kick out of his finish and then just no transition,
one more.
No fancy shit, just pick me up and give it to me again. And it was a great learning. Like, okay, I just got over way more by losing than if I would have, you know, given him a small package or some
right,
bullshit.
Right, got the 1-2-3. Yeah, right.
You know, and I think...
I think this is the same way now.
Same thing?
Still, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jay White can lose. Then be over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, I think Jay White's going to win.
Okay.
I think he's going to win.
So has to be something creative though, huh?
I'm just trying to think of where they might want to go. And once again, there's this big hole in the foreign side.
Right, these guys right. Oh, yeah. I have a feeling that they have planned for Jay White.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, either way.
He'll be a future IWGP heavyweight champion at some point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And then we move on to my match of Jericho versus Naito.
Intercontinental title match.
Title.
Yep.
You know, once again, I really think that Naito is probably the best promo.
Best promo?
From the New Japan guys.
Right now?
You know, yeah. If we had a... like an app where you could just hold it up and everything he said in Japanese was coming out in English.
Yeah.
Those promos would fit in the United States right now.
Ah, okay.
His attitude, his vibe. Now, tell me a little bit about the story of Naito, about how...
It's the anti-establishment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't he supposed to be in the Tokyo Dome main event at one point and then something went... They had some kind of a vote to see what was going to happen. Did you hear about this?
When was that?
Do you know about this Naito? At one point, we'll come over here. You're going to get your Talk is Jericho debut. Because I think what had happened was he was supposed to be in the main event of the Tokyo Dome. Do you know this story? Mm-hmm. Do you know this story? Yep. So tell the story. This is Taito from New Japan.
Hi. You know, at that time, Naito won the G1 Climax. Mm-hmm. But fans are not admitted him. So the vote was happened. Then fans voted to Tanahashi versus Nakamura. Then that match with the main event.
Ah, so it was supposed to be Nakamura versus Naito?
Nakamura versus Tanahashi for Intercontinental Championship will be the semi-final match. Then the Okada versus Naito will be the IWGP Heavyweight Championship for the main event. But the result of the vote, the match order is changed.
That was it.
So the match stayed the same, but instead of Okada Naito going on last, they went on before Tana and Nakamura because the fans didn't believe Naito was ready for that position. Mm-hmm. Ah, so there you go.
This is pretty serious.
Gave him a real, thank you, Taito. Gave him a real chip on his shoulder, which I think...
To have attitude?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think after that is when he went to Mexico for the Los Ingobernables thereupon and came back with this attitude.
Just like last year, though. Your match against Kenny Omega or...
And he was very
angry. Okada's match at the end. Yes, who goes last is very important here.
He was very angry about that last year, that it was even considered to be a double main event, because he's like, no, it's not a double main event. It's Naito and Okada is the main event.
Right.
And that's why... I attacked him at Corrigan Hall.
The day after, yeah.
But I think that put a real chip on his shoulder, which gave him the kick in his ass to come back and kind of create this whole new thing to where now he's one of the most popular guys on the roster.
Real popular.
You know?
And the faction leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, you know, I'm going to end Naito's career at the Tokyo Dome.
Okay.
And the reasoning for this is because when you're on a card with all of these matches, what can I do to make our match stand out?
Special.
That's different from eight other championship matches.
You can have Ospreay type match.
That's right. You're and not nor going do you to. Want to. So we want to have more of a brutal, violent type of a match that is me focusing on ending his career. Mm. So, you know, my prediction is that I'm going to win.
Chris Jericho. Okay. Right. Chris Jericho.
There you go.
I'll go with you. Chris Jericho.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll give you 20 yen later. But either way, like I said, I'm very excited. Yeah. The match we had at Dominion this year was a lot of fun. And he's good, man. Once again, you got a lot of great guys in the company.
And also, this is the type of match that, see, like I said a little earlier, New Japan wrestling fans are a lot like WWE Universe. They watch New Japan only. You know. Therefore, they know all these characters and all these wrestlers, you know. And Chris Jericho's match is pretty different from everybody else. The audience have to kind of sit and think. Mm-hmm. You know, so you set up the table right at the beginning of the match. And people watch that, right? Then you don't use that table for a while. Mm. It's kind of like something happens at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then you leave it. And then, you know, you go on for 10, 15 minutes. Then you come back to the spot where you use the table when they're not expecting. Mm. You throw in two chairs, you know, and the one will be used. Mm-hmm. But another chair will be, used a little bit later.
Secret, yeah.
Coming to play. So those newer audience, they have to really pay attention to the movie, mm-hmm. you know?
And that's where you can, like I said, use the tricks that you learn from 28 years of being
experience.
In the business.
Experience, yeah. Yeah, yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be
something new or something I've never seen.
Something different from the rest, which is what you want.
Yes, sir.
And then it's the main event, or the other half of the triple main event or double main event or whatever, which is the best belt machine of Kenny Omega versus Tanahashi for the IWGP heavyweight title. Kenny won the title from Okada at Dominion this year in June.
Yep.
Once again, I mean, is this Kenny's last match in New Japan? I don't know. But either way,
also this might be, it's been announced that might be Hiroshi, Tanahashi's last opportunity to challenge for the IWGP title.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he's 41 now, mm-hmm. and it's more of a, I don't use an example, but like a Shawn Michaels, mm-hmm. That you can still be in the main event, but this might be his last opportunity to headline the card.
Last chance, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So I want to go for Tanahashi,
Is there a little bit of animosity between Tanahashi and Omega?
Style of wrestling. When Kenny Omega and Ibushi and Cody had triple threat back in October, Tanahashi, at the press conferences, that's not wrestling. Mm. What I think of wrestling.
And why? What do you mean?
Three guys are friends and breaking table on each other. That doesn't make any sense. If they say it's today's style, right? Today's style. But this is not wrestling I learned. Very good though.
Wow. So
isn't that good though?
Yeah. It's like a subtle issue.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable because Tanahashi does what he does. Mm-hmm. And pretty much old school wrestling, mm-hmm. High fly flow, like your mm-hmm. frog splash. This is the only finish he uses, mm-hmm. He stick with it.
He's very much a Bret Hart style.
Yeah,
worker.
I think so, yeah.
Everything he does looks good. It's not like he's doing a bunch of flashy moves.
Nope.
But it all makes sense. Like last night in that match with Ibushi, Ospreay, Kenny, and Tana, I didn't see Tana not quote unquote keeping up with the rest. I mean,
he doesn't want to
perfectly. I mean, it's like when I worked with Kenny last year and people were like, well, how is Jericho going to keep up with Kenny? He's like, I don't have to keep up with anybody. A good match is a good match. There's no keeping up. It's just working together with putting over each other's strengths.
Yeah. Or you don't have to do the same thing they do.
Right.
Never.
You keep it different,
Right.
But I'm really looking forward to this because I mean, Kenny, it's interesting when you have confidence in this business, you're on fire, man. You can work with anybody.
This guy's special.
Kenny's just got the confidence and he's got lots of little like great Muda 1988 little moves and ticks that he does. And he's just really fun to watch all across the board.
Right.
And I've never seen, I'm sure he's had single matches with Tana, but I haven't seen one since I've been here. Right. And I'm excited to see it, you know?
Actually, Kenny, Tanahashi's single match was Kenny Omega's one of the first matches with New Japan 2 years back. Mm. Yeah, at the G1 Climax tournament.
Oh, okay.
Single match.
I'm sure it was.
So the Kenny Omega 2 years ago and Kenny Omega today is two different person.
Right.
Yeah, so Kenny Omega has like, a real confidence in him. And I'm still hoping that this is Tanahashi's night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were saying too that you don't want Kenny to leave New Japan. I mean,
oh no,
do.
I want, to be honest with you, I want Kenny Omega to stay here and headline Tokyo Dome card next 10 years, be a king of Japan.
It's interesting because now with all of the, you know, international penetration that New Japan is getting,
right, and,
you know, more influence in the United States, you have to wonder, like, if Kenny stays, he'll be kind of the face of the company in a lot of ways.
He can be, yeah.
To lead worldwide, you know?
Yeah, you need English-speaking Caucasian guy, right? Worldwide market. I think Kenny Omega and Tanahashi single match can headline Madison Square Garden, you know?
Oh, yeah. People would love it, you know? Because that's the thing with New Japan, even though they sold out Madison Square Garden, you still have to put on a great show.
Sure.
Because if not, you'll never sell it out again. If you put on a great show, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
If you put on a show that's not great, it's the end.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's the thing. And plus, you know, Kenny speaks perfect Japanese.
Very special.
Yeah. You know, if as a Japanese, does he speak?
Yeah, pretty fluent. No accent.
No accent.
No accent.
Not even whatsoever. A Canadian accent?
A little bit, but that's a charm.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he, not a words or just a phrase. He just speaks Japanese.
How did he learn that?
It's been here, what, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
Somebody must have taught him properly.
Yeah.
His grammar is correct.
Wow.
You know, and then the pronunciation is pretty perfect.
Because there's nothing worse than when you try and learn how to speak a foreign language and you finally get enough courage to try and people just stare at you. That happened to me. I tried to speak Japanese so many times and you go like, hot cake kudasai. They're like, hot cake? Give me the freaking pancakes.
Okay. No, he speaks perfect Japanese.
So what's your prediction on this match?
I'm hoping this is Tanahashi's night.
Okay.
I'm going to say... happy to go home.
I'm going to say Kenny's going to keep it
and
stay in New Japan. That's my prediction.
Oh, win and stay with New Japan.
Stay with Japan.
Yeah, okay.
Overall, which match do you think is going to be the best match in the show?
Last two? Yeah.
In different ways?
Jericho Naito and Omega Tanahashi.
And I'm going to
two different things.
I'm going to throw Ibushi and Osprey in there as well.
Right.
I think it's going to be an opening
match.
Yeah.
Pretty far away, but
it's going to be hard to follow that one.
Those two are so special. So special. Yeah.
As we wind down here, you've seen... every Tokyo Dome show?
Pretty much attended every Tokyo Dome show.
What are the best matches you've ever seen at the Tokyo Dome?
That's so hard. You know, I always get asked who is the biggest American superstar in Japan or something like that, you know?
Well, that's a hard one, yeah.
That's a hard one.
But is there certain matches that stand out for you that you saw at the Tokyo Dome?
Keiichi Muto against Nobuhiko Takada, probably. You know, New Japan against UWFI.
Oh, huge one, right? Yeah. And that was a legit Tokyo Dome sellout at the time, right?
Yeah, like 65,000.
Right.
Keiichi Muto against Nobuhiko Takada. And the UWF was going to be, like, they're going to change the world. They're going to change wrestling. They're going to make it a legitimate sport and all that. Then Muto kind of came back and beat Takada with figure four leg lock. A real traditional.
That was almost like the first invasion angle, right?
Yeah, right. If it wasn't for that, you know, UWF against New Japan thing, none of those NWO thing would have happened, you know. Somebody studied it.
I think,
you know?
Bischoff actually
studied
saw that at the time.
Oh, in a promotion. Yeah. They believe it, right?
Yeah. So that was a big one. Any other stand up for you?
Oh, yeah, a lot of those, you know. God.
Because even All Japan, when you're talking about the All Japan.
All Japan, Misawa against Kawada.
So many great ones. Yeah. Kobashi, too.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So many good ones there.
Yeah, because it happens every year. And then at one point, New Japan used to run, what, two or three Tokyo Dome shows a year?
Two
or three. One in January, one in summer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
All in Tokyo, or were they trying other stadiums?
Like Fukuoka?
Yeah.
I think 1 year they had like three Tokyo Dome shows a year. Yeah, like January, April, and summer, or something like that.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
The great bout that I saw was I first met Kenny in Christmas time 2 years ago, which would be 2016.
Okay.
And so January 4th, 2017 was Kenny and Okada.
Okay. 57, something like that.
Crazy dragon suplex for the top rope, which I yelled at him for, but backdrop into the table. And it was the first Kenny Omega match that I ever saw.
Oh, that was?
Yeah.
Oh,
and okay. It was just an amazing match. So, but very exciting. Yeah. Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, very. This is a good one.
Good show. Yeah. Good card. And like we said, it's going to be a full house. And if you guys want to watch it and you're not going to be in Tokyo, you can go to New Japan World and you can
sign up.
Sign up. English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, which is amazing stuff. Or you can watch the Japanese commentary, which is always fun too, especially if you're an American, just hearing the guys freak out, not knowing what they're saying. It just brings up so many good...
Liga and Makabe and probably Chono too.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, they do it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Fumi, it's great to do this with you, man.
Thank you very much.
How many years have we been friends?
25 years. Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, it's great to connect with you, and hopefully we're friends for another 25 years.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Arigato gozaimasu. Say something in Japanese.
Domo arigato gozaimashita.
That's it?
Gomen.
All right, thanks again to Fumi Saito, my longtime friend, one of the greatest Japanese wrestling reporters of all time. 30 years of experience. He's covered every Wrestle Kingdom 13, and he and I both think this is going to be one of the best ones. So you can order it live by subscribing to New Japan World at newjapanworld.com. Like we said, it's 1,000 yen, 999 yen. Oh my gosh, that's expensive. No, it's not. It's $9.99, all right? Kevin Kelly and Don Callis will be calling the action in English. It's a great card with a great vibe about it. The whole element of New Japan is exciting, and I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy this show. Subscribe now, newjapanworld.com. It's going to be one of the best shows of the year. Wrestle Kingdom 13, don't miss it. All right, and don't miss on Friday, Comic Book Talk returns with Reed Tucker, one of my most popular shows ever, where we talked about Marvel versus DC. We're talking about some of the, continuing in that mindset. We're talking about the legendary Marvel and DC artists and writers who never got their due or credit for creating some of the biggest superheroes in the comic book world, like Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman, and for Steve Ditko, who really contributed a lot to the development of Stan Lee's Spider-Man. Stan Lee recently passed away, but there were other guys involved, talking about Steve Ditko and how underrated he is as well. You're also going to hear about Siegel and Shuster. They created Superman, basically died broke. A lot of politics happening in the 30s and 40s for comic book writers and artists. Their stories and the look at a look at the state of comic books and superheroes today, including what DC can do to up their game and get their movies on track to compete better with box office giant Marvel. I'll tell you, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are great starts. You're not going to want to miss this. Comic Book Talk returns to Talk is Jericho on Friday. We're going to love it. You're going to love it. I hope you guys had a great new year. 2019, we're going to kill it this year. It's going to be our year. So have a great, great week. And in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. Don't forget, newjapanworld.com, Jericho versus Naito 2, Wrestle Kingdom 13. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be the show of the year. I guarantee it. Go check it out for sure. All right, we'll see you on Friday.